Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Today, I have a very, very special guest. Dr. Elise Rigney is joining me from Colorado, and I am so excited to have her on because I just admire everything she's created. I admire the amazing businesswoman she is and the mom she is for her kids, and I am just excited to chat about all things entrepreneurship. So thank you so much for joining me.
Yay, I'm so pumped to be here. I'm excited for whatever's going to come of our conversation today.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about it because I don't really know a lot about your intro story or your story with starting your first practice. So tell me how that all unfolded.
Sure. I'll make it pretty quick. I was going to be a dentist, ready to do it, like did the DAT on my way to dental school, became a CA when I traveled back from Norway. And I was like, I just need like a front desk position somewhere and applied on Craigslist. So that's how long ago it was. And got a CA position and literally just saw lives transform. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a dentist. I'm going to be a chiropractor. But what was great is I was a CA and there were three owners of that business. And it was like a high volume chiropractic practice in Minnesota. And they mentored me. They were amazing doctors. And I was able to even see that partnership model with three partners too. And then when I went to chiropractic school, which was at Northwestern, I ended up working for 10 different offices in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area doing basically screenings and marketing. So like during school, I'd go to all these big expos and fairs and like a lot of like really not desirable places to go screening too. But I got out and I taught chiropractic throughout all of chiropractic school and felt like I just saw lives transform as a student too. And so did that. And then I ended up doing like my internship at the largest chiropractic clinic, I think ever. I don't know if anyone surpassed. When I was there, we were seeing 2,800 patient visits a week. It was like crazy high volume. And I was working around the clock. And my husband, who's not a chiropractor, he came with me. It was down in Texas and he would work in the practice, I guess you could say, doing like dinner with the doc recruitment. So we did three dinners with the doc. I mean, I feel like I've been through all the old school models in chiropractic too. So oftentimes I'm like, okay, been there, done that. How can we not do that again? Right. And so yeah, him and I were down there and then we drove on up to Colorado, like packed up our 2003 Volkswagen Passat. And we slept on like an air mattress, a double wide air mattress for like my whole internship. And then right when we opened too, and I ended up opening, like I was turned down for tons of business loans everywhere I went, wrote my whole business plan during chiropractic school. And then ended up, my parents had like no money. No one was giving me money. We'll just say that. And so I ended up going to my dad's like farmer banker in Minnesota and took a line of credit against cattle that they had on their farm. And so that is how I got my starting capital to open up the practice and just was profitable like right away. Brought on an associate. I mean, I had to be. Like I absolutely had to be. There was no alternative to that.
Totally. So, there's no plan B.
No, there really wasn't. There really wasn't. So yeah, that is how it started. And then started growing the practice with adding on chiropractors pretty soon, like within my first year of opening, I brought on my first doctor just really to help with adjusting. So he helped me adjust. And then Dr. Laura came on with me June of 2015. And she came on as a student at Palmer doing her internship, turned associate, eventually senior associate doctor, added on multiple doctors that she trained. And now she's a partner on another impact with me. And so, yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know she was with you that long. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been together 8.5 years.
Wow. That's amazing. And all similar to you, I was turned down for multiple business loans. And I think, I mean, I don't know. I think it's such a funny thing when people are like, I don't have the money. And I'm like, well, you got two people right here that didn't have the money, but figured out a way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just getting like creative. And now I feel like there's like angel. I do a lot of angel investing in other companies. And so there's so many other opportunities too for unique startup funding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was even going to say, I think it's a little bit easier now to get funding just because I feel like, you know, entrepreneurship is such a bigger deal now than it was 10 years ago, you know? So people are applying left and right for different sorts of things. And like you said, there's ways to get creative, lines of credit, on all sorts of different things too. So what was your vision when you started Impact Chiropractic and how has that kind of shifted and changed?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be like super high volume, 1,000 patients a week by myself. Like I was like, I'm going to crank it out. I'm like just going to serve this community. I was on fire, like deliriously on fire. And then I got pregnant and I actually miscarried while I was adjusting and seeing patients. My associate wasn't there at the time. And I was like, I never want this to happen to anyone else like this. I just kept adjusting. And I was at this place where I'm still a people pleaser, but I was such a people pleaser where like I had a room full of patients and I was like, I can't tell. And like back then it was like
another thing that wasn't discussed about.
Yeah. Like now we discuss this, but like it wasn't discussed back then. And so it was just like odd and uncomfortable. I mean, it was devastating in so many ways. So that was definitely my turning point where I was like, I know I want to have children and I know I don't want to sacrifice and go through trauma in a sense like this ever again, nor do I want anyone else to have to do that. So that was my turning point for like, I want to build a team. And then it really became, I want to build a brand that is more of a legacy brand beyond me. I didn't want it to be about, I was almost like anti-personal brand for many years. Like some of my friends here in Fort Collins are actual influencers like and have been for years. And I was like, no, I never want a personal brand because I loved being able to build a practice that wasn't about me. And so, yeah, it was the vision had completely changed. It was like going from I can do it all myself. I'm an independent woman. I can see crazy high volume and just serve to how can I do life with other people and serve at it and make an even greater impact. And like the name of the practice is Impact. So it's like, yeah, pretty much in alignment.
Yeah, total alignment. And then now, because I'm in chiro-intensive, I know that you are looking at opening other practices in other states and creating amazing partnerships and new opportunities for people. So is that just part of spreading the mission and making a bigger impact as well?
I didn't think that was like part of the plan. I'll say that. So it just kind of started to happen organically. I had someone ask me if I'd purchase their practice and then in another neighboring town. And then I took four of the docs out to go look at it because I was like, we could go out here. Like, this is great. It's a family practice. It's the only practice that we refer mamas and babies to in this area. And then Laura was with me and at the time she was like, I don't want to practice. Like I'm here. Like we're doing this together at the Fort Collins office. And then she was like, well, I could do this. And then we ended up not purchasing that practice, but then just opening up another practice where there was a need. And then now it's just become challenging to refer for what we do. And so we can refer to so many, I mean, there's so many amazing doctors in our state. I'm really friends with a lot of chiropractors, but they're practicing so differently. So when patients move up and down the Front Range of Colorado, it's like they're getting very different care. And then some of them are driving like 3-4 hours just to get to us. We've had patients move to get their kids' care and they'll live here for like the summer. And so it's like, how can we like serve and not have people doing anything like that or driving pregnant women driving like insane amount of hours to get to us?
Yeah, that's amazing. How is your process for finding these doctors to have them be either a part of your Fort Collins location or are you just putting regular ads out and being like, cool, whoever applies to be part of the team and then we'll kind of vet them and put them through the process that you normally would?
Yeah, I'll say I just did a round of interviewing and I hadn't done any interviews in like over 3 years. Because we just had all the same docs. And so I have recruited and brought on docs. And so in September, I had 20 interviews I did. Wow. And I had more resumes than that came through. And I just think it's because I have been speaking in the profession on podcasts like yours. Yep. And like, I truly love mentoring. Mm-hmm. And being able to remove myself from patient care for so many years, it's allowed me to open up space to be able to do that. And that is what so many docs are seeking is mentorship. Because of course, they care about like, pay and benefits and all of that extra stuff, but they want to learn how to serve even better and sharpen their skill set. And so for me, I think it's just because I pour into doctors, that reputation has gotten out there too. So I'm pretty open book. Like even Chiro Intensive last year live event, we had some of the docs on our team up there in a panel. And I was like, anyone ask any question, like ask
nothing's
the
off the table.
Like, right. Because there's questions that some owners are like, well, do they get upset that I took a month off this summer and took my kids and my husband to Portugal and Sweden and I post about it. I share about it. I'm not hiding a lot of the things in life. I'm really oftentimes sharing a lot of the things, even, you know, material items that you purchase. It's like, come and do this with me. Let's go do this together, you know? And so I was like, ask, are you upset that she bought a G-Wagon? You know, like, do you feel like you're the person who worked for her to get the G-Wagon? Ask those questions that are in the back of your mind. And so I just, like, I'm so transparent and such an open book that I think that's allowed, I don't know, docs to like the reputation to get out there from our docs who have been in our offices and spread to other doctors. So I've had docs who have gone and worked at the Joint to wait until I had an opening here who have, just to keep their hands on patients. It's just been like, so I haven't put ads out except for this round. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've posted on my like social media before, like a few years ago, but now this round I did like Indeed and I think that's kind of it. And then I put in some of the Facebook groups. In the past, like years ago, I would go on like the state associations and just post everywhere. But most of the docs, it's been word of mouth, like how they've...
And out of those 20, did you hire any of them?
Yeah. So I hired two full-time associate docs. And then I brought on two students. So Sam, who runs Chiro Intensive with me, she was our CA and she joined us. And so she's at the Loveland practice. She'll be graduating in March. And then her husband, who's a third generation chiropractor, is at our Fort Collins office. And then they're going to be opening up an Impact later with me too. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's kind of so four docs joined at once, which is like, oh my gosh. Literally, we were doing pediatric training the other day and or was it like, I don't even remember. I was doing a report of findings for something and for them to listen to. And I was like, oh my God, I hope I still got it. Like,
that's how I feel.
They're somewhere.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, you know, my newest associate, she'll ask me a question. I'll be like, yeah, so this is how I would answer that. But it takes me a minute. Like I'm not as fresh on it because I'm like not getting exposed on a daily basis as often. So sometimes I feel like the mentoring to them, I'm like, this is actually keeping me sharp too, because it's reminding me these different, you know, like there was something she was like, well, I didn't know how to handle it when a patient asked me this. Perfect example. The woman came in, she was breech, baby went head down and she had a future appointment, then she canceled it. And so we were talking about like communication around that. How can you improve that? Like, well, it's not just about getting your baby to go head down. It's about improving the overall birth process, all of that good stuff. And she was like, yeah, but because she texted in, I didn't know how to handle it. And so I was like, okay, you could do this, this, and this. But so much of that we take for granted because we've been doing it for years. And it's like, okay, this now, because you had this question and it already should have been answered before this point that you've been with us. So now that goes into our training manual. Okay, here's how you handle these tough conversations, you know? But I do love that aspect of mentoring because it's like, yeah, it's going to sharpen me and force me to make sure that I'm on top of my game too.
Seriously. Yeah, absolutely. And then I feel like it's going to the deeper levels of like not just training on hard skills and soft skills, but like going into like more of the mindset stuff and the vision, the goals, like how can you really help mentor them on like goals that they've set for themselves? So for me, I love doing like, oh, you want to buy a house? Well, like, can I support you in any way of learning? Because if you haven't bought a house before, you don't even know what that means.
What's expected.
You know, like who do I talk to? What do I need to have in place? And so it's fun to find out like all of their goals and be able to support them in all areas of life too. So I feel like I very much am like, let's do life together. Even in Chiro Intensive, like having our coaches, it's like, let's do this together. It just, it feels good. It really feels good.
I'm a big fan of that too. It's like, if I'm going to the top, I want to bring as many people as I possibly can with me. And especially those people closest to me, you know, on our teams. And that's something that we share similar. My clinic director has been with me for about 5 years now. And that's kind of our conversation now. She's interested in like opening her own business. She doesn't know if it's like a chiropractic office or something else. And so she had approached me last year, like, hey, would you be interested? I'm like, absolutely. Like, you've done a great job. You know, I believe in you. I know that you have what it takes. And so that's just so fun too, because I don't know, when I was in chiropractic school, I wasn't like, oh, someday I'm going to have successful businesses that put food on the table for 20 different people. Like that was never something that I thought about. And that's something that my husband and I talk about often is like, how cool is it that we actually get to do that? Like, that's something that we take for granted all the time.
Yeah, it's so cool, but it's also a weight, right?
Like, I don't think
that's always talked about. It's totally a responsibility. And I think I've been talking with my office manager about this too. I'm like, when you choose to be a leader, because it is a choice, when you choose to open up a business, when you make these decisions, it's like, it's not always glamorous. And oftentimes people just see that glamorous side of things, but like, you're the one up at night worried about that responsibility or just you know, not getting recognition. You're the one who is sometimes the last to leave, the first to show up, the one there on the weekend, the one talking to the plumber, handling different, you know, things like that. Yes, you can delegate a lot of that out. Like I'm not saying, you know, there's certain things that you have support as a leader too, but oftentimes no one knows what you're doing and they think you're just like laying on a beach with a mimosa and
it's like shopping,
there's so much
living
behind
the life.
The scenes. Yeah, there's so much behind the scenes and like just that weight of responsibility alone, I don't think everyone's equipped to handle, right?
Yeah.
Or nor do they want to take that on.
Yeah, and some people
or any risk.
Yeah, we have taken a challenging path and with that comes big rewards, you know, but yeah, I don't think that it's definitely for everybody because there is a lot of sleepless nights when you're just worrying about next steps or how to mitigate risk and things like that. So I know too, another passion that we share is real estate. So tell me a little bit about your journey into real estate. And I believe your husband is a realtor as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So he became a realtor. So he was like my CA. And then we had our oldest who just turned 9. He was like full-time dad, still is full-time dad. So I say like real estate's his side gig really for like the tax benefits and then for the properties because I'm able to negotiate, you know, his
so much better
commissions out of it. I know I got this, our commercial building and they were like, how did you negotiate someone who I was bidding against, how did you negotiate $100K out of it? And I was like, oh, that would have been his commission on this. So I just took it out. So we don't pay taxes on that, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then there's just a lot of tax benefits to him being a real estate professional as well. So it wasn't necessarily that he had expertise in real estate originally. It was just like, oh, we know we want to, that's the next steps. And our first home we bought had like a subpar experience. And we're like, gosh, this is such a big deal, your first home. Mm-hmm. And it felt like just, you know, not that 5-star experience whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just what drove him to become a realtor. And then we got into, so commercial, residential, I just haven't done much Airbnb. So, and I haven't done syndication. I own the properties 100% or him and I own them together. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done any partnerships or anything with real estate, but yeah, it's definitely like, it's funny because I thought I had all these goals for this year in real estate and now I've been going into angel investing more because it's so much easier to be hands-off in venture capital. And so it's kind of transitioned, I say, from what I thought real estate would be. I thought I'd be adding multiple properties every single year. Because you're in syndication, right?
So we did do a syndication in, I guess it was the year our son was born, I think. So 2021, we did like a pretty significant investment into a syndication into 14 Airbnbs inside of Nashville. And here's the thing with real estate too, which I was talking a little bit about this with Dr. Lauren, is like everybody sells it that it's like this beautiful passive ticket to freedom. And it's like, it is still a job. It is still a headache. And that was kind of our plan. We're like, okay, how can we take our active income and replace it with real estate income? And then we bought 5 properties in 1 year. And then like simultaneously, like 3 of them, one of the tenants didn't pay a bill. So like the pipes burst. And then we had a place that was vacant and we're like, wait a minute, this is a lot. We didn't sign up for this. So we do have an Airbnb as well. And then we're in a part of that syndication and we have a couple of long-term rentals, but it was one of those things where we were like, yeah, we're going to go gung ho. And then we're like, okay, pump the brakes. There's probably an easier way to do this. And one of the things that we learned too was, by no means are we real estate experts. We've learned a lot since we got started and neither one of us are a realtor yet. That's because I was laughing because I'm like, yeah, that's part of the vision, right? So it's like, what's the next step to our vision? One of us has to do one of these things. But what we realized too, since we're very like much in the thick of it with like having a little one, planning for a second little one in the near future, you know, and we're like, we're pretty good at building cash flow businesses. And we haven't always made the best decisions when it comes, like we've angel invested too. Sometimes they've been really good. Sometimes you're like kind of taking a big risk. Like, who knows how long it's going to be for that return, you know? So I think that probably some of the things that we've not done a great job at has taught us more than the things that we've like knocked out of the park.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And it's like another thing that can be glamorized, right?
Totally.
It is. And then when you're really in it, you're like, oh, this is what I got myself into. Do I want to 10X this? I don't know. And it's interesting because I'm an EO, so Entrepreneurs Organization, it's an international organization. And there's a lot of syndication, the people who like run those groups, I guess you could say, in there. And I have watched some really scary things happen with those. So I think it's actually like caused me to be more like, you know,
hesitant.
Yeah. And just like, even though it would be helpful to have others like managing all of that, I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know.
Well, like, and there's
like tap the brakes a little bit is what's happened this year specifically. And also just not knowing what's going to happen with the market. It's like,
totally.
Is it smart to do this right now? Or is it better to like wait, you know, a couple more months, another year? It's like that FOMO of like, am I going to miss out on better opportunities? Like I'm pre-FOMOing here.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things too with like Airbnb. Airbnb has drastically decreased in 2023 because so many people were doing international travel again. And they're looking for those like luxury resorts and places to stay at. And we kind of had a similar thing. We're like, we're going to buy five Airbnbs. And then we bought one and then we did the syndication. And we're like, okay, let's pump the brakes and let's just see what's going to happen. And I mean, I think that being an entrepreneur, you have to have a good amount of risk that you're willing to take, right?
Absolutely.
And like, you're like, my husband and I, especially, like we got married in Vegas. So we love, like, we love risk, we love reward. But there's something about like, okay, we could be smart about this now that we have more knowledge and we have had some really big losses. We're like, okay, let's just be a little bit more calculated. Even though we're going to take the risk, let's make sure it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'll say like, I am definitely like a, I get really excited about something. Like I opened a stem cell clinic in 2018 and sold it off in 2020. And now everyone's doing like Shockwave and that sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, like I feel like I get excited about, I definitely like see that in myself of like the shiny lure within business. So it was like real estate was something that I was like so into a couple of years ago. And now I'm like, okay, what's next? You know? And so it's been like the Cody Sanchez boring business.
Yes.
Like I'm on Biz Buy Sell like a Zillow.
So are we like every day we're like, what's for sale?
It's just like, I feel like you just kind of like keep filling that need in different ways of like your brain needing to be like, what's next? Where are the opportunities at? Where are they lying with like all the boomers who are selling? There's like a huge transition of wealth that's going to happen too. And so I'm like, well, is it in boring businesses and not in real estate happening? And
well, then it's like, do I sit on this capital so I can make those decisions, you know, when the opportunity presents itself? So let's transition a little bit because I want to talk a little bit about how you started Cairo Intensive and what that process looked like and kind of your method for it.
Sure. So that was another thing. So Cairo Intensive, I don't know if we've explained it, but it's a 90-day business mentorship and mastermind that I founded and we do it once a year in Q4 for chiropractors. And it's really chiropractors who are out of startup, not an exit strategy, but in that like scaling mode, usually in a great profitability place where they're like, okay, I'm doing great. I finally have some, you know, disposable income or like things are feeling really good, but I can't personally keep going like this, like physically, mentally, emotionally. I need to figure out how to take some of the burden or the possible burnout off of me too. And so that's usually like the docs who are in there, I would say. And with Cairo Intensive, it was like, again, just like partnership, not something I planned on at all. I joined a practice management group like 1 year after opening and like they moved me into being a coach essentially with them and into like more of leadership type position where I was leading calls and Q&As and all that sort of stuff. And that happened when I was, I don't know, 26. And so I feel like I was moved into a little bit of leadership within chiropractic and then speaking within our industry quite soon. And yet I was like, I have so much more I want to learn. Like I am just beginning. I should not be giving advice. Like, you know, I should not be positioned in this role. And so I took a step back. I don't even remember what year it was. Maybe after Stella was born. So like 2018, maybe before then. I don't remember. And then I would just get messages on Facebook or whatever of, hey, I've seen that you have this many docs and they're all staying. How are you doing it? How do you compensate them? Like a lot of the how-to questions. Or if we did something marketing-wise, hey, can you share this with me? And I got kind of exhausted by the private messages back then. And of course, all my friends, the influencer friends, they're going to hate that I called them that. They all are like badass bosses, but like they truly are influencers too. So all my influencer friends are like, you shouldn't be giving this all away for free, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not that for me. It's exhausting responding and being like, sure, what's your email? I'll send this, you know, but they don't even have all the details to this. Like I need to explain this more, like an associate contract. That's not going to help you actually hire an associate, have expectations set, general term. Like it's not really going to help you. You need to learn the full picture of it all too. And so that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to start this. I'm going to start Cairo Intensive. And it like, so it happened in 2020. I started my Instagram page like 6 weeks before Cairo Intensive. I made a PDF and I was like, okay, here's what, I hadn't even made the content yet, but I practiced it all. Like I had it all.
You
right?
knew it.
But
it was all it. Here. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like practicing what I preach. And so I was like, okay, cool. And so I launched it. And then I lost my dad. Like my dad died like 2 weeks before Cairo Intensive started. So here I had collected like over $200,000, like $220,000 from people. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like my dad was 58 years old, totally unexpected. And I'm in charge of everything. So I'm going through like probate and all that sort of stuff and like planning his celebration of life and everything. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I just have all these doctors' money. I better do this. Like I'm, you know,
I have to.
He would have wanted me to do it. Like he definitely would have. He knew all about it. And so I created the program and it's just each year built. I think it's doubled each year. So this is year four of it. And it really like, it's expansive for me because I learned so much from all the doctors in the program. And then I've added on coaches who have gone through the program. And yeah, it's just continued to grow. But it's funny because I chatted with you about this, I think, but like from the PDF, I didn't even have a website. I didn't have like details lined out. And it was just kind of like, there is a need. And the people who signed up that first year were the people who were asking me the questions. Like they were the ones in the DMs who were like, finally, I can pay you. Like finally, I can ask you more questions. But I knew one-on-one coaching was not my thing. Like I still reevaluate that all the time because people ask me and I'm like, no, it's just, it doesn't light me up. Mm-hmm. But being on group, on cohort, small group, large group, Q&A, all of that, it's like, oh my gosh, like time goes by so fast.
Yeah. So, and that's one of the things that I've always admired about you from a business perspective is I feel like you always know what your North Star is and you don't really waver on that. You're like, this is what I'm going to do. I've already thought of everything that could possibly go wrong or things that I'll be asked. And you just like stay committed to that. But I think that's also an attribute as to why you're successful and why you've accomplished what you've been able to, because you're not really wavering on what it is you want or what it is you're trying to create.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel pretty strongly about that because I've had really amazing multiple seven-figure opportunities handed to me that I've said no to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, if they knew the details, they'd be like, you are an effing idiot. Like, why did you not? And I'm like, I'm just not willing to sacrifice other things for that. And I always know more is coming. Yes. You know, it's like just believing that like, if it's not this, then it's other things, or there's other opportunities, or there's other need for like my time and my energy and, you know, not sacrificing my family too, or any of my needs. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's so important. You know, one of the things that I talk to my clients about too, it's like, once you start making a certain amount of money, you are not going to lack opportunity. It's actually the more money you make, the more opportunities are presented to you. You have so many options. It's really practicing that discernment that's going to be like, this is actually aligned for me. And this is actually what I want to be doing, not just what's going to make me money, because it's so easy to make money. You know, it is truly so easy to make money, but it's what is aligned to me and where do I want to be 5 years from now? And how can I take action today that's going to get me closer to that? And I think you've truly done an amazing job with that. As we kind of round out here, I want to talk a little bit about motherhood and entrepreneurship and how you aren't sacrificing your family, because that's probably our third shared similarity and passion that we both are like super care about our families. We want to travel the world with them. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to show them places. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but like you said, when you were growing up, like you didn't have family that was just handing you money. I'm very similar too. So for me, it's super important to provide something that I didn't receive growing up. And how do you do that? Balancing motherhood and entrepreneurship and all that good stuff.
Oh my gosh, such a great question. I was going to say though, because I feel like it's the Wealthy Practitioner podcast. So kind of what you just said right before that though, is like wealth really does like buy you choice and options and opportunities. And like you said, money's going to keep coming to you. And that's why when you know your true north, and your true north is your family. Mm-hmm. And like I crave my family. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's even if there are these opportunities, like true wealth to me is that you can say no. And you know that other options and choice are coming your way. And so for me, I'm a very seasonal person. So like I plan my entire year and I'm like, my season of work is fourth quarter. Like that is my season.
And then
summer is with my kids. Summer is not necessarily with my kids. Oh, I'm like, I have a minivan and I'm taking them
to camp. Sort of
right. No, it's like, okay, I'm coaching their softball, but I love that. Like that, that lights me up too. And then it's like that travel and creating experiences for my children or with my children too. It's like, it fills me up just as much as it's important to be like intentional and with them. And it's not just to me about like providing things I didn't have. It's about like breaking a lot of generational traumas that came in my family, you know? And so, and like family beyond, you know, like generational traumas overall. So for me, it's been like, that balance of making sure like I'm supporting them more emotional and mental and like how I speak to them and communicate with them and share time with them. And I know I don't need to be a full-time mom and be mm-hmm. homeschooling them. And I know like they would not be their best selves and I would absolutely not be my best self. Mm-hmm. But the time I have with them is so incredibly intentional mm-hmm. and meaningful. And it's kind of like patients where like we're more high volume in our office. So you always hear like ask a patient how long they were with the doctor and they might've been with them for like 3 minutes and they think it was 15, mm-hmm. you know, or they think it was 20. It's the same thing with my kids. It's like when I'm really present with them and find the things that our time together, create traditions and rituals and daily rituals and all of that, it feels like I didn't miss a beat. You know yeah. what I mean? Even if I'm out speaking for a weekend or that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And you're away for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're seeing what friendships look like. Like I'll say I have a lot of really, really good friends and friends who would be there if I needed anything or if my kids needed anything. And my kids, instead of them playing, like they used to always play family, uh-huh. they'll play. I've got a group of girlfriends that like some of those influencers, oh, it's going to be funny if they keep doing this. They were called the Ride or Dies. And so they'll be like, let's play Ride or Dies. And that's like what my girls are playing.
That's so cute.
And it's like, let's go on a trip together. Let's, oh, I need to call this person. And it's so cute watching them.
That's
like,
adorable.
It's just literally integrating kids into general or life into my family, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. how can I just integrate this all together? So there's like purpose and passion and they get to like witness a lot of it too.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the things that Kyle and I say too. We want to teach our son what it's like to work hard for the things that you want, but like you have to be able to enjoy the fruits of that hard work as well. It's not just all work, no play, but also being able to teach him that you're the creator of your destiny, you know? So if you want to be able to travel, but have businesses that light you up, and I was laughing internally when you said like, yeah, I'm not going to be that homeschool mom that's doing these things because when I had my son, I was like, I'm definitely cloth diapering. I'm going to be a good crunchy Cairo. And that's part mm-hmm. of it. And like, realistically, that does not fit in my life. We were on a plane when he was 5 weeks old to go to Naples and spend a couple months there, you know? So I'm like, how am I cloth diapering? And then I'm hopping on calls and then I'm talking to my team. Like it just didn't fit into my lifestyle. And so that yeah. was kind of my, I would say my first, not my first humbling moment, but one of them where it was like, okay, I get permission to do motherhood and entrepreneurship on my own terms. And yeah. there's going to be some things that I thought maybe 10 years ago, I would be this kind of mom or I would show up this way, but my work is so important to me. And so I know personally, I wouldn't be happy being a stay-at-home mom solely because I would feel like part of the work and the work that I do with other people would be missing. But it's nice that we have created options to where we get to be both and both get us really excited and lit up.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that's helped me and throughout, like I'd say, especially the older my kids get, is like thinking about that vision of what I want that relationship to look like in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So 20 years from now, all my kids are out of the house. I mean, likely they're all out of the house, right? And it's like, I want to like create these rituals and these traditions and be that safe place where like my kids get in a bind and they're not like, oh my gosh, don't tell mom, she'll get uh-huh. upset. I want them to be like, call mom. She'll know what to do. Like she'll know exactly what to do. Or like when they have their own families, I want them to want to come home or I want to be able to go wherever they need support too. And mm-hmm. so I feel like it's building that life right now for what that future is too. Cause I'm sure you see this too on like your Instagram and stuff like those. You only have 18 summers with your kid. And it's
and
like,
I'm like, what?
Stop that right now. If you choose for that to be your only time you make memories with those children, sure. But it's like, what's that relationship look like afterwards. And mm-hmm. so I think it's thinking about that just like we do our business. Like we vision cast for mm-hmm. our business for, you know, ever really. I mean, you've got the 5-year, 10-year, your exit strategy, all that. It's kind of you got a vision cast for like your family and your relationships too.
Totally. Totally. I love that. In closing, I like to ask all of my guests, we already touched on it a little bit, but just to wrap it up, what does wealthy mean to you?
Oh, wealthy means definitely like choice. Mm-hmm. Options, opportunity. I feel like the freedom word is overused in our profession so much, but it is truly like that opportunity to be free and to make the decisions that align with you and your core values. And then even just like wealth, I think shows up in so many different ways as far as wealth. Like if you have great health, to me, mm-hmm. you're wealthy. Like that is the ultimate, you know? And that's something we talk about in chiropractic. It's like you can be super wealthy monetarily and not have your health and it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think there's different ways that wealth can translate into all areas of our life too. And I think having incredible relationships and being healthy, all of that is wealth too.
Yeah.
It's prosperity. Yeah.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for joining me. I am a huge fan. I love everything you're creating and I love following along with your travels and everything else you do. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram or TikTok, either one.
Okay.
Awesome. I don't have totally two different personalities between the two, but you'll see a little
you'll
bit
see
of
difference.
Content. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Still
all right.
The same person.
Thank you. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.